Daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, yesterday, President Trump did what presidents for the last 25 years could have done, but didn't do it. Either because they didn't have the courage, which perhaps is a part of it, or it could be, in my opinion, may more likely be it wasn't God's sovereign will, because it just wasn't the time for it. But in any event, President Trump has now made history. He's recognized Jerusalem as the rightful capital, the historical capital of Israel. And as a result, there are going to be two major impacts, which we're going to talk about in the next two segments with our special guest, E.J. Kimball. He is the director of the Israel Victory Project. And we're going to look first in this segment at what difference will this make to Israel, both positive and negative, frankly. And then we're going to talk next segment about what difference will the president's decision make to Israel's enemies, some of which we're already beginning to see. But just to refresh us just a little bit, I want to play just a very short portion of the beginning of the president's speech yesterday, where he acknowledged the rightful capital of Jerusalem to Israel. If you could play that, Russ, please.
My announcement today marks the beginning of a new approach to conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. In 1995, Congress adopted the Jerusalem Embassy Act, urging the federal government to relocate the American embassy to Jerusalem and to recognize that that city, and so importantly, is Israel's capital. This act passed Congress by an overwhelming bipartisan majority and was reaffirmed by unanimous vote of the Senate only 6 months ago. Yet for over 20 years, every previous American president has exercised the law's waiver, refusing to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem or to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital city. Presidents issued these waivers under the belief that delaying the recognition of Jerusalem would advance the cause of peace. Some say they lacked courage, but they made their best judgments based on facts as they understood them at the time. Nevertheless, the record is in. After more than two decades of waivers, we are no closer to a lasting peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. It would be folly to assume that repeating the exact same formula would now produce a different or better result. Therefore, I have determined that it is time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That statement, historic in every way, is creating impacts and ripples around the world. And talk to us a little bit about what we can expect. I want to welcome in right now to the program E.J. Kimball. He is the director of the Israel Victory Project. E.J., thanks for being with us today.
Sam, thanks for having me on again.
Well, E.J., you heard the president's speech. You listened to it yesterday, I know, and we played just that very special clip right there. He's going to do what has not done before. I just want to start out with you very quickly right now. You listened to it. Were you pleased with the president's announcement? Did it go too far? Did it not go far enough, in your opinion?
I was pleased with the president's announcement. I think he struck a good tone in his comments. I think he was very clear as to what he was announcing. This was to quote the president himself, this was nothing more or less than a recognition of reality, that to finally acknowledge the obvious that Jerusalem is Israel's capital. This is something that everyone knows. Sam, if, you know, when you go to Israel and you're in Jerusalem and you ask someone, what country are you in? They say, I'm in Israel. And this is the capital. This is where their ministries are. So this was an important step in many ways, specifically because it is a recognition of reality. And while for most of us we say, well, big deal, but in the Middle East and with countries and with the Palestinian leadership, acknowledging reality is a big deal. They don't want to acknowledge reality. To acknowledge the reality that Jerusalem is Israel's capital changes the game. It sends a message to the Palestinian leadership that your constant rejectionism of Israel, since its founding, is now going to have repercussions for you. That the United States is going to start speaking clear, and we're going to start taking your word seriously. If you talk about destroying Israel and never recognizing Jewish sovereignty, then the United States isn't going to play that game anymore. So I think in a general sense, this was a good speech. It was a very measured speech. I've spoken with colleagues on both sides of the aisle who, especially on the left side, are kind of surprised by the tone of his speech, that it wasn't his normal tone in his speeches. And I think that reflects the gravity of what he is undertaking here.
Just to jump in here, EJ, this is Gary. First of all, this was one of the promises that Donald Trump gave when he was running for the presidency. And, of course, it is the recognition of reality. We know as we read through history that Jerusalem has been the capital of Israel clear back to the times of King David. So, you know, there is no doubt about that. But the question that I have for you is, in your opinion, what do you see as the biggest positive impact that this is going to have upon Israel with the United States recognizing Jerusalem as its capital?
The biggest impact, I may not be able to say the biggest, but let me give you a couple. What we will see, and we are already seeing it, is a recognition by other countries. So the argument that President Obama, or the strategy that President Obama operated under was to lead from behind. Well, Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, is leading. And already since this announcement, the Czech Republic recognized West Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which is an interesting break from the European Union, which usually will speak in one voice. But the Czech Republic said that West Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and that East Jerusalem should become the capital of a future Palestinian state. I don't necessarily agree with that, but that sort of a statement of recognizing at least part of Jerusalem is a watershed moment. And there, the Israeli government has announced that they expect more countries to recognize it. The Russian government, which actually recognized West Jerusalem in April of this year, and I don't believe there were any protests over that, the Russian government has announced that they may move their embassy as well. So I think we're going to see a cascading effect where countries now can have the courage to follow the lead of the United States, and that will help Israel build up its credibility and its relationships with these countries towards an actual end of conflict.
EJ, you're mentioning something that I think is it's probably worth noting again. You didn't actually say it, but you are saying it. Good, positive leadership, as the president has exercised, a recognition of reality, does in fact almost give permission for other people to do also the right thing. Good leadership gives permission for good people to follow. Bad leadership encourages bad people to follow. And it's almost like the previous administration and this one are completely, totally different directions when it comes to Israel and Jerusalem, and you can see who's following in the wake. I think it's a great point that you made. But there's on the other side of this also, EJ, you're laying out some positive things, and I think what you're saying there is going to be worthy for us to watch as other countries now follow the lead. But not all of them are going to follow the lead. And I would have to think that I've heard from some of these European leaders speaking about what they may or may not necessarily do with Israel. It can't all be positive for Israel. What would be perhaps the biggest negative impact that may arise as it relates to Israel from the president's decision?
Sure. Well, the most important potential negative impact would be a new intifada being waged by Hamas. Hamas has already called for an intifada. The president of Turkey, Erdogan, has called for an Islamic summit. The Palestinian Authority leader, Mahmoud Abbas, is in Jordan discussing with the king about how to respond to this. So there's definitely the potential that this could break out into a widespread war, potentially. However, you also have the factor of Iran and the burgeoning relationship between Israel and the Sunni Arab states. And historically, the Sunni Arab states, while giving lip service to the Palestinian cause, has not backed up their words with actions. And I do not believe that the Sunni Arab states are going to jeopardize the relationship with Israel in combating what is the primary threat to their existence, the Iranian regime and Hezbollah, over an issue of recognizing the plain reality of Jerusalem as Israel's capital.
Interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl today. Our special guest, E.J. Kimball. He is the director of the Israel Victory Project. That's, in, of course, in conjunction with Middle East Forum. Now, when we come back, we're going to go to the other side and say, as a result of the president's decision relative to Jerusalem, what difference is that going to make to Israel's enemies? And I think EJ already kind of referred to it. We're going to break that out a little bit more when we come back in the next segment. Stay with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just joining us, we want to thank you for doing so. And again, we have many people join the program sometimes partway through, and I want to remind you at this point that you can pick up the entire program. This program today and yesterday's in particular has a lot of tremendous information, very current as we're talking about today, mostly what the president delivered in his speech relative to Jerusalem and why it is so critical from so many perspectives that we understand what actually was done, why, and the implications that it will have. Now, you can listen to all archives by going to our website at standinthegapradio.com. You can pick up the archives there. Or if you have not downloaded our free app, I encourage you to do that. Just go to your store on your iPhone or Android and enter the phrase Stand in the Gap. Download the app, and then you can listen to this program in a delayed fashion at your convenience if you can't pick up the entire program today. Now, here right now, I want to pick up as we continue to talk about the impacts of the president's speech and what he did yesterday. Because even before the president's announcement about Jerusalem, opposition was swift and nearly unanimous from many world leaders. Most all of those that I have seen so far were, frankly, all enemies of Israel to begin with, Islamic nation leaders, globalist leaders of Europe, and religious establishment leaders like Pope Francis himself, who had recognized a Palestinian state that doesn't exist. So these folks who have not been in alignment with Israel ever, not surprising, they're the ones that are speaking out the most. But outspoken enemies like Hamas have threatened with words such as this, quote, Trump's flagrant aggression has opened the gates of hell, end quote. Yesterday, the Turkish prime minister said that a Trump announcement would, quote, set off a fire of hell that would not be put out, end quote. So they'd love those references to destruction. As I said earlier, it's not surprising because in Islamic prophetical belief, they believe that death and destruction is something that they're looking forward to do. And that's an amazing thought when you think about it. Now, EJ, before I go to you right now for some comments on what the president's comments will mean to the enemies, I'd like to play just a very, very short portion of what the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, said yesterday in regard to the president's statement. If we can hear that, please, Russ.
Jerusalem has been the capital of the Jewish people for 3,000 years. It's been the capital of Israel for nearly 70 years. It was here that our temple stood, our kings ruled, our prophets preached. Jerusalem has been the focus of our hopes, our dreams, our prayers for three millennia. From every corner of the earth, our people yearn to return to Jerusalem, to touch its golden stones, to walk its hallowed streets. So it's rare to be able to speak of new and genuine milestones in the glorious history of this city. Yet today's pronouncement by President Trump is such an occasion. We're profoundly grateful for the president for his courageous and just decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and to prepare for the opening of the U.S. Embassy here. This decision reflects the President's commitment to an ancient but enduring truth, to fulfilling his promises, and to advancing peace. The President's decision is an important step towards peace, for there is no peace that doesn't include Jerusalem as the capital of the State of Israel.
Well, EJ, that, I thought, of all that the Prime Minister said, was really a profound statement. There is no peace, there can be no peace, unless and until Jerusalem is recognized as the rightful capital, the eternal capital of Israel. Well, I'm sure that when he said that, the enemies of Israel also heard not only what the president said, they heard what the prime minister said, and it really has to rankle them. So, E.J. Kimball, director of Israel Victory Project, in your estimation, what do you believe these statements will have now on the enemies of Israel? Some have also talked about rage and all that kind of thing. Do you think this is just going to give them an opportunity to do what they have been wanting to do all along? Or do you think perhaps maybe they might come to recognize reality as the president did?
I think they may use this as a pretext, but I think that's secondary, because what's most important is to understand, and this is how we responded in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, which is that we can't be held hostage to threats from enemies. Anyone that is claiming that this move, supporting and recognizing the reality that Jerusalem is the capital of our greatest ally in the Middle East, Israel, and possibly our greatest ally in the world, to say that that recognition means that they're going to attack the United States or our interests, or they're going to attack Israel, shows that they're, one, not an ally of ours, and two, that this is an entity that we should not be in, you know, responding to on a regular level. This is a these sorts of threats are the actions that weak leaders would succumb to, and I think President Trump rightfully listened to these concerns, listened to the threats that were made about what could happen if he made this declaration, and decided that as a leader, you need to step forward and take on the challenge. And if the regime in Turkey is going to launch an attack, if the Palestinian Authority and Hamas launch a new intifada, if the Jordanians want to get involved in some sort of a war effort, those are the enemies of peace. And enemies of peace that threaten the United States and our allies need to be dealt with in response, but we should not be held hostage to their demands.
That's a very good answer, EJ, and I appreciate it very, very much. And for those who are saying that what Trump did yesterday in announcing the recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel will hinder the peace process, obviously what has been taking place up to this point has really not helped the peace process. So I kind of think that that may be a moot argument in the long run. But I've got a twofold question to ask you, if you do not mind. First of all, last night I noticed that former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld said that a lot of the nations who are the enemies of Israel will make a lot of noise about this right now, but that they will eventually get over that. And, you know, they'll calm down, and so that will open the door, perhaps, for some further peace talks. The second part of my question is, you know, the United States of America was the first to recognize Israel as a nation back in 1948, and now we are the first to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. So my second question is really this. From your perspective, how are the Jewish people, both in the United States of America as well as around the world, responding to this particular announcement by our president?
That's an excellent question. Obviously, there's not one straight answer for that question, as Jewish people have many different opinions on this. I think, for the most part, there is excitement and, at the same time, some concern about what sort of impact this could have on safety of Jews around the world and in Israel. I do believe, though, that President Trump, he made the point in the first clip that was played in the first segment that it would be folly to assume repeating the same exact formula would now produce a different or better result. And this is really the big issue here. And this is the work that I lead in the U.S. Congress and in the United States on the Israel Victory Project, which is we need a new approach to resolving this conflict. The conflict, the last 25 years operating through the Oslo paradigm has failed. And we can continue with the same process in trying to encourage a new negotiation, but we already know that it's going to fail. And worst case, it's going to cause an intifada. So let's try something new, and not just let's try something new without having a plan, but let's have a plan. And perhaps, and I would hope, that President Trump and his team has this plan that they're ready to implement. And the first step is to tell the Palestinian leadership, stop your rejectionism of Israel, accept Israel's right to exist. Arab countries, and I think Secretary Rumsfeld is correct in his assessment, that because, as I mentioned before, ultimately they don't care about the Palestinian people. If they did, they wouldn't be living in refugee camps for the last 70 years. They could have been resettled by now. They could have been given jobs. But instead, their focus is on maintaining their leadership, their power, and that threat comes from Iran, not from Israel. And ultimately, I think as this dies down over the next few weeks and months, that relationship with Israel will continue between the Sunni Arab countries. And I think that the Trump administration and their intent on relaunching some sort of a peace initiative is taking the approach of reality, telling the Palestinians, this is the reality, this is how it is, and if you want to be a player in the international system, it doesn't start with you getting a state, it starts with you accepting the state of Israel as the homeland of the Jewish people.
Excellent, excellent. E.J. Kimball, director of the Israel Victory Project. You have a website, real quickly, to direct people to?
Yes, you can go to meforum.org to get more information.
All right, meforum.org. E.J. Kimball, thanks for being with us today. Great segment there. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to stay with us as we now enter into